worship you and to praise you and to lift up your holy name. And Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in our midst. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you just have your way amongst us, knowing that all that is said and that all is accomplished here this morning, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will be exalted. We say thank you, Father, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes, all the time. Let me say that again. God is good.
All the time.
All the time? Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Gee, we're so alert here today. Huh? Folks, you know, it's been a number of years since I last spoke on the life of Samson. 3.5, 4 years, it's somewhere around there. And, you know, Samson had a lot going for him. But Samson made some very, very, very bad choices. And this morning I just want to share around, you know, the story of Samson. It's always encouraging. I love these Bible stories. You know, David and Goliath, Samson and Delilah, and Jonah and the whale, and, you know, the things that we kind of minister to our children. And but when we have a look at the story of Samson, there is so much that we can learn in terms of making sure that you and I do not make the same mistakes and make the same bad choices that he made. And he did make some bad choices. So I've titled today's message, "There Are Consequences to Our Choices." Is that true? You know, I was just pondering this during the course of the week that God we have absolute freedom. You know, God could have made us as little robots, huh? That we just do everything that he told us to do. But God gave us absolute freedom so that we could make our own decisions and choices. So we can choose. But we need to know that whatever we choose, there are consequences to our choices. And I think that's what I'd like to share around this morning. You know, Samson, he was actually born into a privileged lifestyle. And how often do you find that people that come in, you know, have many advantages in life, but it seems as if they just don't seem to make it? They're actually born into privilege, but they don't make it in life. And then you get those other people that actually come in and really born into difficult circumstances, but they rise up above it and they start to demonstrate greatness and success. Isn't that amazing? Well, Samson was an example of the former that I mentioned here. And he was born at a specific time in the history of Israel. And it's quite interesting. When you have a look at this, there were 7 times that Israel actually rebelled against the Lord. And this time now, the Lord uses the Philistines to go and to punish Israel. And this went on, folks, you can read about it, went on for 40 years. 40 years they were exposed to the Philistines. And so we can probably say that the Philistines were Israel's worst enemy. Samson, the name, it means sunshine. It means sunshine. And in the darkest days of this nation's history, old sunshine came tiptoeing into the world. Samson was a Nazarite. Now, this is very interesting because basically what a Nazarite is, it's a Jew that is bound by a vow. So he took a vow as a Nazarite, and part of that is that, first of all, you're not allowed to eat grapes. You're not allowed to even eat the seeds of grapes. You're not allowed to drink wine. You are not allowed to touch a dead body, whether it is an animal or whether it is a person. And also, you're not allowed to cut your hair. And so Samson, God just gave this guy supernatural strength. And on one occasion, we actually see that he went out and he slew 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. Is that true? Have you ever thought about that? Can you imagine 1,000 people? I don't know if you know how big a crowd is of 1,000 people. Where this guy, it was when the Holy Spirit came upon him. He grabbed hold of this donkey's jawbone and he went out there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like these people couldn't get close to him. He took out 1,000. Folks, this is fact. It is when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Let me just read that. We see this in Judges 15, verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came out shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Who rushed upon him? Why was he strong? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out his hand and he took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. Isn't that amazing? Folks, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. In another situation, occasion, I'll read about that as well. He lifted up the gates of the city. He came out of the city. He took these gates with the poles, kind of put it on his back, and he walked up the hill. Get the picture of that. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then there was another time when he was confronted by a wild lion. And he grabs this lion and he pulls it apart with his bare hands. Amazing strength, folks. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges 14, verse 5, it says, and Samson went down with his father and his mother to Timnah. And they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came towards him roaring. Get that picture. You out in the vineyards. I'll talk more about Samson being in the vineyards. What was he doing there? But he's out in the vineyards. And suddenly this lion, young lion, is coming towards him. Roaring, it says. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. Well, I try to get the picture. It's not a very comfortable picture trying to see somebody tearing apart a young goat. But anyway, let me read on. But he did not tell his father and his mother what he had done. We'll see why he didn't tell his parents. So my question is, what do you think Samson looked like? Do you think he looked like me? With a 12-pack? Triceps and biceps of note? I'm just joking for you guys that are listening on a recording. But what do you think he looked like? Do you think he looked like, do you remember Arnold Schwarzenegger? Huh? Because whenever I see pictures of Samson, I see this huge guy with a six-pack that I'm envious of. Is that right? Do you see that? What do you think he looked like? Do you really believe he looked like that? No. And how can you say that, Dave? How can you say that he wasn't a big, muscular guy? I tell you why. Because Delilah, this was one of his women, which we'll talk about today as well, asked him the secret of his strength. She asked him, if she had seen that he was just rippled with muscle and so on, she wouldn't have asked the question, am I right? So when you look at this, his strength was not obvious. His strength, folks, was supernatural. It's, in each case, we see it's when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And, you know, as you read the story, you know, you find that he's kind of strong. Obviously, he's strong, especially when the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. But I think he had quite a sharp mind as well. Huh? Quite a sharp mind and quite sharp in spirit. He was sharp-witted. We see that he's a type of guy that likes to challenge people with riddles. We'll have a look at one of the riddles that he put out there. And I suppose, I mean, he had a really, really good sense of humor as well. So his name was Sunshine, and he was just a bundle of potential. Samson. Folks, yet this is not a happy story. This is not a happy story. In fact, the story of Samson is really it's a tragedy. Because here is someone with amazing potential that actually went from hero to zero. Went from being a victor, victorious, to becoming a victim. Why did this happen to him? Because of his disobedience. His disobedience. And because of his disobedience to the Lord and to his vow, right, there was defeat, there was destruction, there was all types of things happening in his life that should never happened in his life. So here's a guy that is really, really bold before men, but he's got a weakness. He's weak before women. That's the starting point, right? He had the Spirit of the Lord that actually came upon him, but we can see right throughout the story that he actually lived for the flesh, the appetites of the flesh. So his job was actually to go out and to declare war against Israel's enemies or the enemies of God. But we find in the story that he starts to befriend them. Starts to befriend them, the enemies of God. So he fought these battles, you know, the Lord's battles during the course of the day. But at night, this is when you see the real guy, what he got up to at night, right? Really, really disqualified him. So, you know, sunshine, what does it speak about? I suppose it speaks about light. Is that right? Okay. Talking about light. And yet Samson's life ended in darkness when the Philistines eventually got hold of him and they gouged his eyes out. If you had told Samson at the beginning of his life how he would ultimately wind up, I'm sure that he would never, ever have believed you. Okay, but the thing is that he made choices in his life that determined his future. And folks, this is the first thing that we can really learn from this. That we make choices. We make choices that determine our future, each and every single one of us. And that is why it is so important that we make choices after consulting the Lord, that we make godly choices. So life, folks, whether we like it or not, is all about choices. Is that true? I would say that we are all where we are today, all of us, as a result of choices and decisions that we have made in the past. Huh? Is that true? It is. It's true. It's true. Was Samson saved? Very interesting question, because he was a naughty guy. Some of the stuff that he actually got up to. Was he saved? I would say most definitely. But how can you say that, Dave? You know why? Because when you go to the New Testament and you go to Hebrews 11, it lists the heroes of the faith. And guess whose name appears there? Samson. Isn't that amazing? So God didn't give up on him. Even Samson, in all he did and all that he didn't do, you know, his name is there, which is just an encouragement for all of us here today. Then you might say, well, you know, Dave, are you teaching that you can be saved and then go out there and do anything you want? Yes, I am. I am. You can receive salvation and you can go out and do whatever you want, but there will be consequences in this life and the life hereafter, without a doubt. But that's why I started off by saying God has given us a free will. We've got choices to make. But folks, in this life and the life hereafter. So how we live our life here on planet Earth determines the rewards that we will receive in eternity. Isn't that amazing? And this is why the Lord wants us to walk closely with Him, have a deep relationship with Him, that He can guide us and He leads us. He dwells on the inside of us, folks. And if He's on the inside of us, He said He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us right to the end. That's so encouraging. But there, let me say this again. There are consequences for ungodly living. And let me say, too, that Samson paid a very, very high price for his low living. So let's just have a look at some of the wrong choices Samson made. And why are we going to have a look at it? So that you and I don't make the same mistakes. There's something that we can learn here. The first one, he dishonors his parents. Huh? Dishonors his parents. When God said to the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, he made it so clear, do not intermarry with the people of this, or, you know, the people of yeah, you know what I'm saying. Them, those guys. Don't intermarry with all these people, all these different tribes and different people that are in the promised land. In Judges 4, 14 verse 1, now we can see how he dishonors his parents. He says, and Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Again, the Philistines are the Israelites' enemies. Then he came up and he told his father and mother. He says, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines, which are the enemy. They are the enemy of Israel. Then he says, now get her for me as my wife. Then what does this translation say? Yeah, get her for me as my wife. But his father and his mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you must take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Isn't there somebody within our tribes that you can marry and not a Philistine? Watch his response. But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. Huh? She's right in my eyes. So we can see here that he had godly parents, okay, and they were basically pleading with him to go out there and do the right thing. They didn't want him to be unequally yoked. They didn't want him to marry somebody that the Lord had said or commanded that they should not marry. But what's quite interesting, if you go to verse 4, the next verse, you can see that in this one that God was actually involved because God wanted to use this situation to go and stir up some trouble with the Philistines. In Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Folks, we need to honor our parents. Isn't that true? There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing, and it's something with a promise. We'll have a long life. So that's the first thing that we see Samson do. The next thing, he chooses now to dishonor his promise. He made a vow. And the vow that he made was the vow of a Nazarite. Now, you can go and have a look at, it's in Numbers. I wrote it down. Where did I write it? Sorry. In Numbers 6, verses 1 to 21. You can go and read that at home. And that tells you all about what a Nazarite is. All right? So we can see here that he dishonors the vow that he actually made. In verse 5, and Samson went down with his father and his mother to Timnah. This is now to go and find the wife. And they came to the vineyards in Timnah. Now, where you see a history of this guy breaking his vow, vow after vow after vow, I want to just throw it out there. Do you think if he was in the vineyards and there was a nice bunch of grapes hanging there, huh? Do you think Samson would say, not today, you know, I'm a Nazarite. This is not the trend that we see, you know, with this guy. So there he is, he's in the vineyards. What is he doing in the vineyards? Yeah, when his vow says that he mustn't, you know, drink wine and he mustn't eat grapes and pips and all of those sort of things. Verse 6 says, then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion to pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And this was for a very, very good reason. Then he went down to talk with the woman. And she was right in Samson's eyes. Now watch here. And after some days, he returned to take her. So he went back to see this woman. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. So he's hidden back there. And said, let me just take a little pull into the vineyards. Right? So he pulls into the vineyards. And there it is. The carcass of the lion. Remember, part of his vow as a Nazarite is that he's not allowed to touch anything that's dead. Sees the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and honey. He scrapes it out into his hands, and he went on eating as he went. You get the picture, huh? As he's walking along, do you think he managed to get that honey out of there without touching the lion? Man, this guy keeps on breaking his vows. And then he came to his father and his mother, and he gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of a lion. Why do you think he didn't want to tell his parents? He would have got his ear bent. Carcass. Huh? More disobedience. More disobedience. We see it all the time with this guy. He keeps on violating his vows. And folks, let me say that this did not just happen. He didn't just accidentally trip over the carcass of the lion and accidentally put his hand in there and pull out the honey. This was a decision that he made. Right? And he knew that he was violating his vows. So we can see right now that he is actually losing focus. You know, he's messing up, and he's messing up big time. And now his life is on a downward spiral, right? Samson was blind long, 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 long before his eyes were gouged out by the Philistines. The next thing we see with him, he makes a decision to distort his purpose, or other words, his calling. There's a calling on this man's life, right? Verse 10, and his father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there for so the young men used to do. So there was a tradition that if you're about to get married, right, you get all the young men and the guys all hang out together and so on. And as soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions. So they see him. He's a guy that's going to get married. And they bring 30 companions. Do you think these were friends of Samson? These are Philistines. So he's getting married, and there's just Philistines at his wedding. Brought 30 companions to be with him. And then Samson said to them, let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within 7 days, all right, so he gives him 7 days. This is 7 days of the celebration of the feast. And find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. Huh? How's that? So you find out what this riddle is that I'm going to give you. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. So they said to him, put the riddle to us. Come, we want to hear it. Tell us what the riddle is. We're on board with the challenge. And then he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days, they could not solve it. So day one, they couldn't solve it. Now these guys are starting to stress. Day two, day three, they still couldn't solve it. So, and like I said, this is his wedding, and all the guests are Philistines at his wedding. Folks, what we can learn from this thing about mixing with the wrong crowd. Okay, very important. Mixing with the wrong crowd. As believers, we need to minister the truth of the gospel to everybody. But we need to be very, very careful who we have close to us. Because people rub off on people. Is that true? My sister always used to say, you lie down with dogs and you'll catch fleas. Maybe that's a good way of explaining it. Huh? We have to be careful who we are hanging out with. In Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Will suffer harm. So this riddle that he actually gives them, what is it based on? His experience, him killing that lion, is that true? Folks, there is no ways. There is no ways that these guys are ever going to be able to work that out. Absolutely no ways. Without knowing what actually happened. So now, what do? You know, it's gone 3 days. Now they start to intimidate his wife. Right? They start to entice her to speak to him so that they can get the answer. Because they want to make sure that they get their clothing. Still doesn't happen. And then what happens? They start to threaten her. They start to threaten her. And folks, this often is a case. You know, we see it with people where there's intimidation. People start to intimidate other people. Let's not set ourselves up to be intimidated, right, or manipulated by anybody else. It says here, then on the fourth day, we're now on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest, here's the condition, we burn you and your father's house with fire. You don't give us the answer, we're going to burn your house down, sweetie. Huh? Then they say to her, have you invited us here to impoverish us? Have you invited us to your wedding so that we become poor? Is that why you've invited us 30 guys? And Samson's wife wept over him and said, yeah. Now she starts, all right? You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people and you have not told me what it is. And he said to her, behold, I've not even told my father and my mother. Why should I tell you? Okay. But now, folks, this gets interesting. Because you have never seen somebody turn on the tears like this in your life. Ever. Listen here. Verse 17 says, and she wept before him the 7 days. Remember, this is a celebration. The 7 days that their fast lasted. And then on the 7th day, so she was crying and whinging and moaning and groaning. Day 1, day 2, day 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then on the 7th day, he told her, because she pressed him so hard. And she told the riddle to the people. Verse 18 says, and the men of the city said to him on the 7th day, this is the day, remember, that they had to have an answer before the sun went down. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. Right. So first of all, what is stronger than a lion? Obviously they knew what it was. Okay, what is sweeter than honey? So she had obviously told them. And let me tell you something. Calling your wife a heifer. I'm just saying, guys, huh? probably not wise, all right? Don't call your wife a heifer. So we can see here that Samson now is playing games. He's playing games. He's playing games with the enemy. And he is no longer now fighting God's battles, right? He's fighting his own little battles right here. So he's lost his purpose. And this is something else we can learn from this, that we must make sure that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ never, ever lose our purpose. It's about the King. It is about His kingdom and our purpose, your purpose and my purpose is to please God. That's what we do. Amen? But He's lost it. He's lost it right here. Okay. And another thing, folks, we need to choose our battles. Don't fight every battle that comes your way. There's certain battles that are actually not worth fighting for. Okay? Let's choose our battles. So God gives all of us. He gives us gifts. He gives us ability. He gives us anointings. There's all types of things that he actually gives to us. And we must just make sure that we don't use all these amazing things that he's given us for the wrong purposes. That's something else that we can see. The next thing now, he chooses to defile his purity. This guy doesn't stop, eh? Keeps getting worse for Samson. Now the plot thickens. Because now he starts looking out there, wherever he can. He's looking for a loose woman. And it just so happens that there are plenty of them. Plenty of them out there. Not hard to find. Easy to find, I should say. Chapter 16, verse 1. And Samson went to Gaza. And there he saw a prostitute. And he went to have sex with her. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place. And they set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night saying, let us wait until the light of the morning. Then we'll kill him. But Samson lay till midnight. And at midnight he rose and he took hold of the doors and the gate of the city and the posts, the two posts. And he pulled them up, gate of the city, pulled it up, bar and all, and he put them on his shoulders and he carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Obviously, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, even in terms of what he had just done. Okay? God had not left him. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now, Sorek, if you ever look at a map, it's about 12 and a half miles from Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, whose name is Delilah. And what's interesting, out of all these women that Samson got involved with, right throughout the story, it is the only woman that is mentioned by name. The only one that we know by name. Listen to what Proverbs says about these types of women. Proverbs 5:3. For the lips of a forbidden woman will drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But at the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, which is hell. Huh? It's amazing, folks, how the devil never ever shows us the end of the story. He always puts the temptation in front of us, but he doesn't show us the end of the story. And let me say, this type of sin that he's been committing is binding, it's desensitizing. This type of sin impacts on the lives of people. Proverbs 6:32, he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds, in other words, he'll get hurt and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. So the consequences of adultery we see go on and on and on. But what's incredible, that forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is possible, but consequences carry on. Amen. Now, the next point we see, he chooses to commit now the sin that will remove the Holy Spirit from him. He was so familiar with the Holy Spirit. But now he commits this sin and the Holy Spirit leaves him. He's now sitting with Delilah, spending time with Delilah, having his hair tickled. Cute. And she tries to learn the secret of his strength. Now what's interesting, again, if you go and study this, you'll find that Samson actually loved Delilah, right? He was really passionate about her. But man, she was not as committed to him, because the Philistines, you can read it in this portion of scripture, the Philistines, the officials came to her and they bribed her. They said, we will give this to you if you can find out what the cause of his strength is, why he's so strong. So now, he obviously, because he is so in love, huh? Don't they say love is blind? But maybe it should be love blinds you. So he starts to toy with her and he starts to tell her lies. He says, she asks a question, you know, Samson, why? What is the reason that you are so strong? The first thing he says, well, she says, What can I do? What can anybody do to make sure that you lose the strength? So he says, bind me with bowstrings that have not been dried. That's the first thing he says to her. And of course we know that that was a lie. He's playing with her. Then she asks him again. And remember, the Philistines are waiting to pounce on him. She asks him again. Then he says, well, bind me with new ropes that have not been used. Then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. So he jumps up and, man, you know, you're still as strong as ever. Then he says to her, if you weave 7 locks of my head and fasten it with a pin. We can see now, it's getting closer. Is that right? Getting closer and closer to the truth. Folks, the devil, we need to know how he operates. The devil always tries to take those first few small little steps in his direction. He has to just orientate you. That's what that's his modus operandi, right? And then finally he caves in and he actually tells her the truth. And that is now where he reached the point of no return. That was the end of it, all right? And here is the saddest verse. Chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep. And he said, I will go out as the other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. The Lord had left him. Folks, even with some of us here today, really, you know, we don't realize it. We don't realize it. But some of us have grown cold. We've grown cold in terms of our relationship with the Lord. And it starts off, you're not hot one day and suddenly you're cold towards the Lord. It's a process. Little steps at a time, right? And just becoming colder and colder. Moving far away from God happens slowly. And I want to say, if you're sitting here today and you're in a place where you're feeling cold towards the Lord, when you think back of past months or years even, make the necessary adjustments. There's things that we have to do to make sure that we walk close with the Lord. So the lesson that we can actually learn also from the story is that God would rather forgive. Isn't that true? God would rather forgive than judge. And along the way, Samson made a lot of mistakes, but he could have made right with God. Remember, David did that as well. David committed adultery. David committed murder. And yet God called him a man after my own heart. David repented. Samson doesn't repent, right? So he chooses to go on doing wrong and never ever asking God to forgive him. This carries on, in spite of the fact that he had made that vow. So I just want to read the end of the story. Chapter 16, verse 22. Because we know now that he was captured. They took him, they put him in prison. They gouged his eyes out. And watch here. While he's in prison, then the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god. Do you remember Dagon? Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was placed next to that statue thing of Dagon? What happened? That thing buckled and fell over. So their god is Dagon. And it says, so they were rejoicing and they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Isn't it amazing? All these people concerned about one person. One person, Samson. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand. The ravager of our country. Imagine one man called the ravager of a country who has killed so many of us. And when their hearts were merry, this is after they've had probably a few too many. When their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars and Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, Let me feel, remember he's blind, let me feel the pillars on which this house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there on the roof. So we can see it's different levels. There were some that were on the roof as well. There were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once. Oh God, that I may be avenged the Philistines for my two eyes." It wasn't even a repentance towards the Lord at all. He was still thinking about himself. He wanted revenge because of what they had done to him. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leant his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his entire life. Isn't that amazing? But folks, it didn't have to go like that, right? As a judge, you know that Samson was one of the judges. So God will have his way, folks, no matter what. Okay, he will have his way. And I trust that there's some really good lessons that we heard here today that we can actually learn from Samson in terms of our relationship with the Lord, how important that is, and also the decisions that we make in our lives. Let's involve the Lord in those decisions, every single one of them. Be those who are led by the Spirit. Amen. Amen.